This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Top of the 8 o'clock hour right here in our nation's capital. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. This is Overtime. It's the youngest in charge, Lenoe Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot more to get to before we get out of here. But right now, we're on the phone. It's hard. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. What position, and I'm going to open this up and widen the net a little bit here. What position slash player should the Commanders be most aggressive in pursuing in free agency? My answer, Josh Sweat of the Philadelphia Eagles. If it's not Sweat, then to me the defensive end position is a must for Washington, especially if you want Bobby Wagner to continue to defeat Father Time. In order to do that, he needs a guy that can set the edge, someone that can funnel all of the run plays back inside to him so he doesn't have to literally play sideline to sideline. That's one of my favorite sayings in the football world, a sideline to sideline linebacker. Because you know what that means? If you're a sideline to sideline linebacker, your defensive end sucks. Because you shouldn't have to run sideline to sideline. It should be sideline to, or it should be hash to hash or number to number, having things funnel back inside towards you. 1-800-636-1067. I got Disco. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Disco?
Hey, what's up, Linnell? What's going on with you, man?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good. I'm happy Wagner's back. But I don't want him playing 95% of the snaps. Because, look, man, at some point, you can't fall in love with, he's a great leader. And he's great locker room. And as Dan Quinn said, you know, some things don't show up on the stat sheet. But we got a problem if we're in week 16 and he's playing 95% of the snaps. If Jordan McGee earns playing time, then I want to see him playing less snaps, because I don't want a Thomas Davis situation when he was here. And that was Ron Rivera's boy, you know. So I don't no disrespect to Bobby. But, you know, I mean, you know, these coaches bring in their guys. But, you know, I mean, Father Time does eventually catch up to you. I think they should be, look, man, I would love Hendrickson, but he's going to cost too much draft capital. Now, if they get him, I'm going to be ecstatic. But you still – you don't have enough draft capital to fill the other holes of the fat boys that you're going to need. Now, in terms of free agency, yeah, Josh Sweat, man. But I need a defensive tackle. We got ran all up in our stuff, man. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Man, you got to go get the best defensive tackle that becomes available. You can draft it, too. This is a deep draft.
So, Disco, real quick. But, man, the defensive tackle free agency class is all of a sudden semi-loaded. Javon Kinlaw, Javon Hargrave, two guys that have familiarity here. We know they signed Hargrave to that big free agent deal in San Fran while AP was the GM. And then Kinlaw, they drafted. Now, Kinlaw coming out of college has some off-the-field stuff and He was with New York last year, but played well. I'm wondering if they would want to bring him back. But I agree, Disco.
Man, I don't care about that, man. Jalen Carter didn't kill somebody or whatever, man. And he's smacking what's the name all in his face. I don't care about no character stuff. We need somebody like that. And just one more thing on the defensive tackle, man. I think you can get one of those guys and you can still draft and just keep layering because eventually you're probably going to let DeRon go. Thanks, Linnell.
For sure. Appreciate your call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah, I agree on the defensive tackle thing too. That's why I already had some names for you all that I was already looking at in terms of like, I ain't going to lie. I would definitely be peeking at him, but the D-tackle class, man, the D-line class in the draft is actually really, really good.
It's loaded.
It's loaded. And I've 24 first-round grades Daniel Jeremiah has at defensive tackle. So I think you can get a starter at D-tackle all the way up until round 4, maybe, into round 3. So I don't know. I would bring in a veteran body. Like, I would go bargain bin shopping at the position and then look to bring another body in via the draft. Here's the other thing, too, that I keep trying to say about defensive tackle. It ain't just 2 starters. It's really 4 starters when you think about the way they like to platoon swap that position. It's not the days. I remember all those years we complained about, damn, they're playing so many snaps. They're playing so many snaps. Dan Quinn and company, what was the old saying? We roll with a deep crew. They do roll with a deep crew. And I think because of that, if you're Washington, the way that I'm addressing defensive tackle, there's a couple of guys, man. B.J. Hill from Cincinnati, he's 30, and he's a guy that's at 311 pounds. You're not moving him. And there's a body type that I'm looking for at D-tackle, too. I don't need one of these cute interior guys. Like, everyone keeps talking about, or everyone wanted, what's his name? Oso Odighizuwa. Hell no, I didn't want Oso Odighizuwa. First of all, he is a defensive tackle pass rush specialist. He is a 3-tech. I'm about to get nerdy. He's a 3-tech. We need a 1-eye. We need a 2-eye. We need a big fat boy in the middle that's going to eat double teams to keep the linebackers clean and give you a little bull rush, pass rush too.
A better Sheldon Day.
A better Sheldon Day, who I think they ultimately, like I have it on my list. I would bring him and Jalen Holmes back. I know John Kime reported on his podcast. He thinks that Jalen Holmes comes back and that they like him. I think they like him, too. He's got that thick build. Shamar Stewart coming out of the draft. I'm not going to dare compare Jalen Holmes to him, but, like, build-wise, that thicker lower body at defensive end, he's got that build. But, like, yeah, like, if B.J. Hill doesn't cost you too much, oh, my God, could you imagine this, dog? Alabama reincarnated Jaron Reed bringing him in at defensive tackle. Like, he's another type of big DT 6'3", 306 pounds that I would be in on, brother man. 4.5 sacks last year. It's more than a certain somebody we know that went to Alabama that plays in the middle. More than a certain 2 somebodies that we know that went to Alabama and plays in the middle. So I would love bringing in a bargain bin signing at defensive tackle and then going out and getting one of these dudes in the draft, man. For sure, for sure, for sure. Another guy. Wow. What about Calais Campbell? Calais Campbell would be somebody that I bring in as a rotational guy. He doesn't demand.
He's hitting the market? They're letting him hit the market?
Yeah. He's a free agent. He was on a 1-year deal in Miami. And I think he got traded there.
Yeah, bring. Yeah.
I 100% would bring in.
Give me some Calais Campbell.
Yeah, like to be a part of that rotation. He's going to be, bro, he's going to be 39 years old.
Oh. Oh, wait a minute.
I almost have to laugh at but that doesn't bother me, though, because Calais' production has not dipped off.
No, and he's a brick house.
He doesn't get moved. Like, he's a guy that's going to set the edge for you. Imagine you can get Calais, and then imagine this, right? On certain downs, you move him inside. Let him rush from the 3-tech spot. You know, so he would be a guy I'm in on. I don't know what his mark is going to be, but I'd be in on it. Wow. DJ Jones. I found the guy I want. DJ Jones, defensive tackle from Denver last year, going to be 30 when next year starts. 45.4 run-stop win rate. 3rd best in the NFL amongst defensive linemen. DJ Jones, what did Anthony Edwards say? Bring ass. Come here. We need you, brother. Like, man, I really am. I'm to a point right now where it's like, man, it's a couple dudes that's going to get me excited. This whole process, though, I'll be honest with you. This whole process gets me excited, man. Free agency now is different than what we're accustomed to because a lot of the dudes hitting the market, man, they're older.
Bring your ass.
Thank you, Anthony.
I found it.
I was about to say, I knew it was coming. We were gonna hit a 3D here, but we didn't execute perfectly. But you know what? You pick up what we're putting down. Like, there's a couple of D linemen that really could help you out here. And I'm gonna go back to what I've been saying since the show started. You treat free agency like the draft don't matter. We just acknowledged a bunch of different holes that Washington has. You treat the draft like it doesn't exist, and you go out and you try to fill, if you can, you try to fill all of those holes via free agency. 1-800-636-1067, the number. Right here on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. What position or player should the Commanders most aggressively attack in free agency? Let's go to Drew. And Loud. What's up, Drew?
Hi.
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man.
So I think that the Commanders should most aggressively get at cornerback because when we do good stopping the run sometimes, but then we lose because of our ability to let up the pass game, like in the NFC Championship.
Ooh, I agree. Appreciate your call as always, brother. Corner was another position I was going to mention in terms of being aggressive. Travarius Ward. But here's the thing that I'm going to say about that position. I know, Max. I know. I stole your thunder a little bit.
I exited out of the clip already. I did it to myself. I know. It's a producer's
every
nightmare.
Every time I say a name,
it's a producer's
Anthony
nightmare.
Anthony Edwards. But you know what I mean, though. Like, at corner, there are a couple of names that intrigue me that I would throw the bag at. Travarius Ward would really, I want to say a couple. That would be the main one. Thank you. Travarius Ward.
Bring your ass.
Trey Hendrickson.
Bring your ass.
Khalil Mack.
Bring your ass.
Josh Sweat.
Bring your ass.
Point proven. Anyways, at the cornerback spot, Travarius Ward, Byron Murphy out of Minnesota also interests me, but here's the kicker. I know this may make our last caller, young brother Drew, a little upset here. I'll be honest with you. If I'm being real, I'm okay with running back. Mikey Sanders still, Marshawn Lattimore at outside, and then Noah Igbinoghene in the slot. I'm okay with that. But this is why I say treat free agency like the draft don't exist. To me, like, I'm bringing back Noah Igbinoghene because he's going to be either my starting nickel or he's going to be my first nickel off the bench. Because there's a mock draft that came out from Field Yates of ESPN.com. Maxwell Hairston, the corner out of Kentucky, he mocked to Washington at 29. Maxwell Hairston was flying at the combine, so I don't think he makes it to 29. I think some teams are going to view him as CB2 because Will Johnson, the grades are all over the place because his tape last year sucked. So I think Maxwell Harris is going to be in play for a team in the 20s, maybe Pittsburgh at 21.
Ooh, pair him with Joey Porter.
That would be interesting. But yeah, man, there are a couple of positions, man, that I think Washington's got to be aggressive at when it comes to free agency. There is one position where the market all of a sudden has gotten very, very pricey. I'll tell you what position that is next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's overtime right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live on the always free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest and Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock, about an hour and change left to go in the program. A lot has happened here in our nation's capital. We'll switch gears a little bit here in this 8 o'clock hour before we get out of the 8 o'clock hour because of the barb that I dropped earlier in the show about one trick pony. There's an idiot broadcaster that called a certain first ballot Hall of Famer on the ice a one-trick pony. We'll get to that before we get out of here. If you haven't heard it already, shame on you. Shout out to the sports junkies doing their thing, getting on the color analyst from TNT's game last night. Boy, did he put his foot in his mouth.
Sheesh.
Credit to him, though, for coming on and trying to defend himself. But
wasn't a great defense.
Not at all. We'll get to that before we get out of here. Wizards, talk a little bit of Wizards before we get out of here as well. The Young Pups were awesome last night. State of D.C. basketball in a really interesting spot locally on the collegiate level and at the pro level. American University. Is American playing tonight? I got to check the schedule.
I think so.
I think American's playing the night at Bender, so they've got an interesting one. George Mason, I know they had the tough loss to VCU a week or two ago, but there's someone that's going to be a tough out in the A-10 tournament. Why'd you ha-ha that?
My Rams, baby.
Oh, you're a VCU fan.
VCU grad.
VCU grad. Okay.
Top of the A-10. We run this thing.
Wow. I didn't know that. Okay. So I have something to, like, rival you with because I don't like VCU.
Interesting.
I like Mason. Mm. I don't like Mason. I root for the Terps. That is, like, my college basketball team. It's where I don't have a college football team. I just appreciate greatness.
I just like ball.
But for the Terps, I actually get passionate and watch the games when they're good. When they're good, yeah. Because there was a stretch under Turgeon at the end where they were a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
But beggars can't be choosers.
It's true.
They are looking – Joe Lunardi in his latest brackets got him as a 4 seed. But we'll get to them in a second. I want to look at the Commanders and continue to look at free agency here. We haven't really taken any calls or I haven't really given my thoughts either on Trey Hendrickson. So I wanted to get that out of the way here in this hour as well. Trey Hendrickson officially requesting a trade earlier today. I think he's going to get a massive deal in free agency. I also believe that Cincinnati, who doesn't do this, by the way, right? They don't just trade guys. That ownership group, one, is stingy with the pockets. So once Max Crosby got paid, bro, I knew it was up for my man Trey Hendrickson because they're not dropping that type of bag. Like I just understand that. But with Trey Hendrickson, not only do I not really want to trade for him because I think the cost will be too rich, but I also feel like, you know what, man. The contract you're going to have to give him as well is probably not something that's super appealing to me. The contract or the draft capital that you got to give up to get him is probably the drawback for me, not as much as the money. But, like, Trey Hendrickson to me is a good football player. obviously has led the NFL in sacks before. I would want to have somebody opposite of him that can set the edge because I don't think he's the best run defender. But if you had to, like, put truth serum in me, I'd probably pass. I would much rather prefer what I mentioned earlier in terms of how I would address defensive end. I'm going out and I'm throwing the biz egg at Josh Sweat, bro. I am. I got to. And I gave you the contract projection. 3 years, 60 mil, 40 million guaranteed. I ain't mad at it. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I'm not mad at it. It's not something that I would be angry with. Max, me and you were going to have war words in the next
year. Listen.
It's geeking me, though, because I understand you're just being good at your job and paying attention.
I'm trying. But listen, we know what this is really about, Linnell.
What is this about?
I know why you want Josh Sweat over Trey Hendrickson. And I think the public at large does, too. Why? You can say it.
Why is that?
You can say it. I think I see the look on your face. I think you know why.
Am I? I feel like I know where you're going with this. Am I Sweat sexual?
All right.
I was accused of being a Chase sexual for wanting Chase Young. I also think 3 years, 60 mil, you don't have to break the bank, and it also would allow you to bring in another defensive end.
It's true.
So why do you think that I want Josh Sweat? Here's the thing about Josh Sweat. Oh, we can move on. So the reason that I'm in on Josh Sweat is because I think he's a good football player and he's 27. Also, the price tag isn't crazy. The other thing is this with Josh Sweat. Why I wouldn't want him, if I'm being real. The only reason I wouldn't want Josh Sweat is because I think that opens the door for Myles Garrett to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And that would break my heart.
I told Chris Russell I would do a backflip off the roof of this building and that still stands.
If the Eagles get Myles Garrett?
I'll think about it.
As someone that's gotten in trouble with not following through on things they said they would do, and I said this to our program director, CK, not too long ago, actually. It was an internal hit on my brand. I'm going to do a little story time here with Nell.
Uh-oh.
The Commanders, once upon a time, were 2-1, playing host to the Buffalo Bills at home with the chance to go to 3-1.
Oh, I remember. The week prior to that, they were 2-0, and I told CK that I believed in Sam Howell.
So, under those circumstances, I was like, man, there's no way that they get blown out. That was the conversation. Watching them be blown out. I said, man, if they get blown out by Buffalo, to honor the Buffalo Bills fans, I'll jump through a table if they get blown out by Buffalo.
This offer's still pending.
I was not able to jump through the table because of some Odyssey legal issues. But I look at it as an internal hit on my brand, because the moment I didn't do that, people started saying, well, you don't do things that you say you're going to do. We thought you were going to jump through a table. Max, I even had a table sponsor, my brother, Scrap, over at Chanel Event Rentals. He rents out tables, chairs, moon bounces to people all across the land. Hit him up if you're looking for something like that. But we had a table for me to jump through and all that, and they didn't let me. And I told CK the other day, I said, man, that's an internal hit on my brand. Being facetious, obviously, when I said that. But
currently, I'm just sitting here trying to think of ways around that.
Well, you can't jump off of the damn building, Max. Let's just get that out of
there. Unless
DC Fire and EMS, and Lord knows, because of Mario Bowser, there's not enough of them.
I'll strongly consider it.
Because I'm going to repeat my dunk on Mario Bowser, by the way. We could get DC Fire and EMS to come out here and put a parachute down, but there aren't enough of them because there's too much money going to the stadium, not to our actual workforce people. So
it's a problem.
1-800-636-1067, the number, right here on the MGM National Harbor Listing Lines. You can tweet at me as well. I wanted to talk about wide receiver here. That's what my excellent tease was. That market is booming. Real quick, I'm not in on DK Metcalf because the price tag going to be too high. If it's really a first and a third.
First and a third's crazy.
That's kind of tough. But I'm not mad at paying DK. Me and Denton were talking about this earlier.
2 seconds and a third, I'd think about it.
2 seconds and a third, maybe I'd think about it. Denton was kind of like, I don't want to pay him because he's going to get Terry money. Dude, if you give him a 3-year deal, guess who is in line for a new contract in 3 years or can start negotiating? Jayden Daniels. So we could overpay anybody for the next 3 years. Because they'll be off the books. Look at what Cincinnati did with Higgins and Chase. Now, obviously, it's come to rear its ugly head here because of how good T is. But, like, that situation could happen here in Washington. Someone tweeted out something really that kind of makes me really out on DK. My guy AJ from the Trapper Dive podcast, love what they do.
Is it all the candy he eats? Is that your issue?
No, not the candy he eats. I'm actually not a candy guy. You know how I feel about sweets. It's kind of weird. I'm like hit or miss with them. Certain ones I love, certain ones, eh.
You're very weird on sweets.
I got AJ from Trapper Dive tweeted, DK and Debo have the same agent. So if Washington traded for DK, they'd have to give him a new contract immediately. That would probably tick off Debo. So
yeah,
not in on that.
All right.
Not in on that.
I see it.
We'll take a quick timeout, though. When we come back, isn't it nice to play hoops in the DMV? We'll expound upon that next. It's Overtime. Welcome back. It's Overtime. Here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. It's the August and Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot more to get to before we get out of here. I was just talking to Max in the break, super producer, taking your phone calls. Excuse me, not taking your phone. I hope he doesn't take your phone. If he does, beat his ass. Max is not a thief, so we know he won't take your phone.
I try not to.
But one thing we were talking about during the break is we're getting ready to transition into some hoop talk here. There is a online spat going on right now between Kendrick Perkins and Charles Barkley. I guess Chuck said something, or Perk responded to Chuck's bashing of the Lakers. And Chuck has been, I almost look at it as a bit, though, man. And he is the most beloved figure on television, maybe in history. Talking about Charles Barkley. But he's done this bit all year of like, man, all we got to do is stop talking about the Lakers. I tried.
Your Chuck's pretty good.
I tried. All we got to do is stop talking about the Lakers. The Lakers should be worth talking about. Let's go win some games and be relevant. The Lakers not relevant.
You're learning from the Danny Rye school, huh?
I mean, I get to hear it from the best on a routine basis, so at least I try it. But no, like, Charles has dunked on the Lakers all year long, and then when they made the Luka trade, he was like, no big deal, write them off. And then in the 2 weeks since they've made the Luka trade, Lakers now up to the 2 seed in the Western Conference. And Charles is still like, it's been a good 2 weeks. It's been a good 13 days. It's not good with certain words, Max. That's what I'll say. I do have the best Dave Johnson in this town, though. No one has a better Dave Johnson than me. I grew up listening to the radio party. Back when the radio party was on 106.7 The Fan. That's how long I've been listening. So it's been a while since The Fan's been the official rights holder. It's over on our sister station right now, the Team 980. But, oh, it's there! Come on, man. I'm even working on a John Walton. The Capitals! Alex Ovechkin scores!
All right, it's
bad.
You're getting it's there, a working progress.
But my Dave Johnson is untouchable. Beal. Center circle to Wall. Wall for three. It's there! Oh, it is there! John Wall
for
three
it.
And the Wizards up 74-69. Thank you, Max. Anyway, I did all these stupid impressions, and I'm talking about basketball for a good reason. Charles Barkley, the Kendrick Perkins tweet response has always got me. I don't know if you follow Big Perk on Twitter.
No,
and
I don't.
Keep up with how he does things. ESPN, he's only there. I think he's a clown, bro.
I mean,
I think he's a clown. He does this like tough guy, tough guy persona, and like has revisionist history of how important he was to Oklahoma City and KD. You know, KD not having that. No matter how high Kevin Durant is, he's still not going to let Kendrick Perkins just talk.
Never.
And now Kendrick is barked up the Barkley tree. And I guarantee you, if it's a war of words between Charles Barkley and Kendrick Perkins, Chuck's winning all day long.
I'm taking Chuck.
And Perk, let me not say what I was about to say. I was going to say something about Perk that I shouldn't say. And I'm not going to say it because I want to keep my job.
You'll say it in the break.
I'll say it in the break. But man, it's the wrong guy to pick a fight with. And then, now I'm like, all right, well, which side am I really going to be on? Because Nick Wright tweeted. And once Nick Wright tweets, I literally will put this show on hold.
You found your side.
To read a Nick. Yeah, I found my side once Nick Wright tweeted. And Nick Wright is calling out Chuck, too, saying it's disingenuous. And he's basically just not wanting to admit that he's been wrong. And I think Nick Wright is right, hence his last name. But, yeah, it's a good point. The Lakers being the 2 seed in the West, I'll be real, I keep up with hoops as much as anybody. I didn't know they had already passed Denver. I know them and Denver have been they've been fighting with each other. Then they whooped Denver's ass the other night. So I guess that all makes sense. I love what you just texted me, by the way. I mean, literally music to my ears. But I brought all that up because I wanted to get into a little bit of NBA talk and talk a little college basketball here as well. Want to start with the Wizards, man. Like I always say whenever I begin talking about the D.C. family, I'm as critical of as anybody in this market of the Washington Wizards and what they've put on display this year. But, man, the way this team has performed, how far back do we got to go now? That Timberwolves game was – I'm clicking on it to get in the box score. Ever since February 1st, bro, the Wizards have been on one in a good way. I just love the effort and tenacity and fight that we're seeing from them on a night-in, night-out basis. The development of the young guys has really been impressive. Last night, though, if you were watching, albeit it's against the Utah Jazz, right? I get it. Utah is not a group that, you know, it should be respected. They're tanking just like you are. But what you saw last night against Utah, 125-122 win, Alex Sarr, Keyshawn George, Bob Carrington, mwah, chef's kiss. You all were magnificent last night. The young three, we got to find a nickname for this group, the baby big three, or the baby three. Well, let's just call them baby three. How about that? We'll just call them baby three. It's a funny inside joke for me, someone that used to call themselves baby three on social media back in the day. It's just a hilarious inside joke for me. But Alex Sarr, Keyshawn George, Bob Carrington. Bob Carrington's 19 years old, dog. He's 19, brother. So for him to be shooting the mid-range as efficiently as he is, the pull-up threes off the dribble is good. Love all that. But last night, man, it was Bub, Keyshawn, and Alex Sarr combining for 56 points, 17 rebounds, 15 assists, 5 steals, 5 blocks. Can you say that the youth movement is on in Washington, D.C.? Last night, Keyshawn George, 23 points. I got to check and see. Is that a career high? I don't know if it's career high for him, but he was uber efficient. 8 of 17 from the floor. He took the most shots last night. That's what – I look at the box score and go, whoa, he took the most shots? That's what I want to see from Key, man. And it's crazy because I didn't know what we were going to get from him. I didn't. And Summer League wasn't the best for him. He didn't shoot it well. But I love the way he defended. And then I saw the ball handling and the fluidity with the movement. So I was like, Hashtag big guard. And that's how he's playing, man. Last night, 8 of 17, 3 of 9 from beyond the arc. 7 boards, 2 rebounds, an assist. I mean, two assists, a steal, a block, plus 9, 23 points, led all scores. Did I say he shot the most shots? That excited me as well. So he was great. And then the thing I loved about last night with Keyshawn is not just the 3-point shot, right? And he shot it well from 3 last night. You saw him get downhill and show some crafty finishes at the rim. His competitiveness on the defensive end, though, is what really gets me going. Like, Shawty competes. Workaholic. Love him. And then, him and Bub, you want to talk about Trash Talk University, TTU, as we're going to now start calling it? I mean, those two should be the damn professors. That's what we may call these guys, the professors of TTU. Trash Talk University. Bub Carrington, Keyshawn George, they're going to let you hear it, man. I love it. They're not scurred. They have this competitive spirit and fight, man, that I just love. I mentioned Bub Carrington last night, 4 of 10, didn't shoot it great, 0 for 3 from beyond the arc, but 5 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 1 turnover. Can you say the youth movement is on in D.C.? Love it. Love it, love it, love it. And then the Big Eiffel, as Jordan Poole hilariously dubbed him. Last night was awesome. 21 points, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line, 8 for 12 from the field, 5 boards, 4 assists as he continues to make plays out of that short roll. And then he had 2 blocks and a steal as well. So, like, man, the young Wizards putting on. There were some folks last night on social media, and I tweeted back at somebody. And I only tweet back. Here's my thing. The one thing I would say, man, is like with Sarr, and all the young guys, and I'm admitting I lost my train of thought low-key just now. I was reading a tweet. I shouldn't have been doing that. About the thing about Bilal, and I don't tweet at people a lot. I don't tweet back a lot because some of y'all say some ridiculous stuff. But someone last night tweeted, I'm going to go find the exact tweet. They were basically saying like they were concerned or basically trying to say that like, yeah, Bilal's the rawest offensive guy of the young pups that we have and we drafted him first. You know what? You're not wrong. You're not wrong. This was Tommy, TCAS Wizards, that tweeted this. He said, tonight all three rookies look more polished on offense than Bilal. Am I wrong? And I quote tweeted it and said, no, but it's all good. Look at Bilal. Folks look at Bilal like he's going to be the franchise cornerstone because he was drafted first. Your hope for Bilal should be that he becomes an all-defensive team guy and then all-star maybe if the offense catches up. That's okay. Not everybody that you draft is going to be a star-studded dude, man. It's just not the way that it happens. So Bilal's fine offensively. I'm not worried about him. I need him to be more aggressive, get downhill. I think he's got to get a little bit stronger, which he did this past offseason. So I love that for him. But, like, Bilal's fine. I like the way he competes on defense. And he's always guarding the opposing team's best player. So maybe that's why his offense is dropped off a little bit. Or maybe not developing at the clip that people want to see. I love me some Bilal Coulibaly, though. I also wanted to get into the Terps a little bit. The one thing that I would say, though, about the state of D.C. basketball. Wizards really showing a lot of promise. Terps playing well. Some of the local teams playing well. George Mason, American. Ed Cooley's got Georgetown looking good. It's a good time to be a part of the DMV basketball scene. To me, though, right now, as we sit here on March the 6th, 2025, the most popping group in the DMV basketball scene, the Crab Five, baby. They were on full display last night in the home of the Fab Five. Give you the latest on the Terps after their big win over Michigan next here on The Fan.